Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Every year, anywhere from 100 to 300 migrant workers come to Northumberland to work on about 23 local farms. They arrive from Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean. They supply a labor force to do many of the hard physical jobs, like picking fruit and vegetables. And for those who follow their work, these people are essential to our local economy. Migrant workers are wrapping up their season. So it was a good opportunity to check in with Daniel Quesada, the Community Outreach Officer for Horizons of Friendship. His job is to monitor migrant workers in Northumberland by talking to them, providing support services, and advocating for them while they are here. He will update us on how this year went in the face of a second season during the pandemic. I'm so pleased to have with me today Daniel Quesada, the Community Outreach Officer for Horizons of Friendship. Welcome to Consider This.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
To begin, can you bring us up to date on how this season went for migrant workers in Northumberland?
Yeah, sure. So essentially, as folks might know, here in Canada, we have something called the Temporary Foreign Worker Program. So basically, there are certain jobs here in Canada, especially, for example, in agriculture, where we just don't have enough Canadians that are available or want to work some of these farmhand labor jobs. So you can think of, for example, like on a farm, like an apple farm, like there's not a lot of Canadians that might want to, you know, prune apple trees, you know, and pick apples, you know, all the way from, you know, March or April out to November. And so to meet this labor shortage, we have to bring in about over 40,000 workers every year from developing countries, primarily from, you know, Jamaica, Guatemala, Mexico, to come to Canada to work on these vegetable farms. And so basically here in Northumberland, you know, we're no exception. We're in Northumberland. We have, you know, a lot of vegetable and apple farms. And so farmers have to bring in migrant farm workers or temporary foreign workers to our community to work. And so basically what's been going on, you know, pre-COVID, you know, folks would come in, you know, March, April, May, and then they would stay all the way, you know, September to October, maybe November, depending on having to clean up some, you know, apple trees and such. And so basically, you know, they would come in, they would work, they earn minimum wage or just maybe slightly over minimum wage. And then, you know, they'd go home and, you know, rinse and repeat. They're living, you know, the winter seasons back home, and then they're coming here for spring, summer, maybe a bit of the fall. Now with COVID, it gets more complicated, right? Because it's a infectious disease. You know, there are certain strains that are appearing around the world. That are of concern, right? So basically, what's been going on is, you know, migrant farm workers are still coming here because we still need to, you know, eat these fruits and vegetables, and we still need to produce and harvest and do all these things. So we still need farmhand labor, migrant farm workers. But, you know, we have to take some added precautions as a country, right? There was mandatory quarantines for migrant farm workers arriving to communities here in Canada. So folks are arriving. To, you know, for example, Toronto Pearson International Airport, they're being driven in like a quarantine style bus, you know, to the community, or maybe their employer might pick them up depending on the farm. And then they're placed in some sort of quarantine. They're placed in a quarantine here in Northumberland anyway. And that could be something like, you know, the employer might have rented a hotel. Maybe the employer has a trailer that they have them in, or maybe, you know, some of the employers also rent or own houses or apartments or things like that, to house the workers during their quarantine. And then, you know, because we're all trying to stay apart right now because of COVID, it also means that now that the workers are here, you know, we can't, you know, socialize like we used to, right? We can't, you know, get together for dinner or for a lunch or, you know, go out and, you know, hang out and stuff like that. So it means a lot of, you know, staying at home, you know, those things that we've all been doing. And it's a bit sad, right? I think we've all been a little bit bummed out by this whole pandemic thing, but I mean, that's just what we've got to do to stay safe. So, that's sort of, to answer your question, Rob, and to give a little bit of a primer, that's what, migrant farm workers, have been sort of up to, I guess, during this pandemic so far.
You've said a lot in there, and I'd like to start to now to unpack a bit of it. You mentioned some numbers. You mentioned 40,000 migrant workers. That's here in Ontario. Do we know exactly how many migrant workers are hired in Northumberland County?
Yeah, in Northumberland County. So as far as we know, there are about 13 or 15 different farms here and all the way spanning from, you know, Port Hope or Wesleyville, all the way as east as, you know, Brighton into Trenton, and as far north as like Garden Hill or Welcome out by Port Hope. There's anywhere from, depending on the year, anywhere from 100 to 300 migrant farm workers will come to Northumberland. And that all, again, that all depends on what the farmers here have planned for the year. Like if they have a big harvest plan, or, you know, some of these farms are very cyclical in how they produce or rotate crops during the years. So, you know, 2017, 2016, there were literally like 300 plus workers here. Recently, it's been about 100, 125, maybe 150. That's how many we usually get.
You mentioned a lot about the precautions that have been taken since COVID. Can you maybe compare that experience to this year?
Yeah, so I think comparing 2020, like spring 2020 to spring 2021, it was a big difference. In that spring 2020, you know, when it first started, you know, that March, April, May, you know, that was really scary. That was a really scary time because we didn't know exactly what the virus is all about, you know, how many people were dying. You know, we were still trying to figure the whole thing out. We were at some point in there, we were still wondering like masks or no masks, you know, so, and then now in the second spring, so spring of 2021, you know, we had a better understanding of how this virus works, you know, how important it is to, you know, wear a mask, even wear two masks, double mask it up, or even just, you know, staying 2 meters apart, how important that is, the washing the hands, you know, all the different sort of precautions. And also for that spring of 2021, you know, we were already underway here in Canada, at least, vaccinating vaccinating folks, and migrant workers fell under a vulnerable group. And so they were actually, as some workers were coming in March and April and May, some of them were actually already getting vaccinated either through a pilot project that was at Toronto Pearson Airport. They were getting vaccinated right at the airport as soon as they arrived, or they were getting vaccinated, you know, upon arrival, you know, to their, you know, the communities here in Northumberland, or here in Ontario, sorry. And so it's still been tough. Don't get me wrong. There are still outbreaks at farms across Canada with migrant farm workers. There are still, you know, cases and stuff like that. Even here in Northumberland, there've been some workers who've gotten, cases, but they've been mostly asymptomatic, which is, you know, the best possible case of COVID you could get as far as I know. So, things have changed, I think, for the better, you know, as we, you know, we've been learning, you know, over and over all the different health precautions we can take. So, you know, I think things are slowly getting better, fortunately.
Now, has there been any mandate that the workers had to be fully vaccinated to I know you said some of them were getting vaccinated as they were arriving, but do we know just what percentage of the population is fully vaccinated that have been working in Northumberland?
As far as I know, I would say at least 90% plus of migrant farm workers would be vaccinated. There is a slight problem that has been going on, in that some of the workers who came up this year were already vaccinated with Sinovac, which is, as I've understood it, is a Chinese vaccine that's being distributed a lot in Central America and Mexico. So workers are getting vaccinated in Mexico with Sinovac, but then when they come to Canada, that vaccine isn't recognized by Health Canada. So they're actually considered to be technically unvaccinated, but they are vaccinated because it's Sinovac and it's recognized by their home countries. So there's this whole We have, as far as I've learned about this, and I'm not a health expert, that, you know, we have procedures in place for, mixing vaccines like AstraZeneca with Moderna or any of those approved brands here. But, you know, we've, as far as I've seen, there are some workers who are here who are technically unvaccinated because they have Sinovac. And so, like, I think the health units, not just the HKPR health unit, but the other health units across Ontario and probably Canada are probably sorting that out now, what to do with the workers who have unrecognized vaccines. Like, are they vaccinated? Are they not vaccinated? It seems to be that they're considered to be not vaccinated, so they need to be revaccinated with one of the approved ones, you know, the Pfizer, Moderna, or AstraZeneca, I think. But fortunately, the workers that I've spoken to here in Northumberland, everybody's been, vaccinated. You know, there's been a tremendous, you know, campaign here locally in Northumberland to get everybody vaccinated, not just migrant farm workers. And it's been encouraging to see everybody go out and roll up their sleeves and get their shot.
Now, you also mentioned that there were some asymptomatic cases of COVID amongst the migrant workers. Can you tell us a little bit more? Do we know how many cases there were, and did you monitor that?
No, like I don't know much about it. Like, I spoke to a couple of workers who said that when they arrived, they got tested and they had COVID, and they were surprised that they have COVID because they didn't feel anything. They were already vaccinated and they had COVID, but it was asymptomatic. They didn't feel anything. And so as far as I understand, they were just, you know, self-monitoring, and they had some sort of their employer had some sort of contact with the local health unit. And, you know, after their quarantine, they tested negative again and all was fine. And it wasn't declared an outbreak or anything like that, as far as I know. And so, you know, it all resolved itself in probably about the best way it could have. So we're very fortunate and grateful for that.
Recently, in the past couple of months, there have been a number of news reports that talk about the conditions for migrant workers in Ontario. And there continues to be media reports of poor housing conditions for migrant workers. And the Migrant Rights Network and the Farm Workers Working Group have described conditions from insufficient access to toilets to cramped living conditions, even with the COVID, calling it a modern day slavery. Can you describe for us, what are the conditions like in Northumberland, and do they come in any proximity to those that are being described elsewhere?
Yeah. So, like, for example, those organizations like that you'd mentioned, a lot of them work out in other parts of Ontario, like, for example, Leamington or Simcoe County, where there are farms where there are some farms in those regions where they have 200, 300, 400 workers at a farm, and they're looking to, you know, maximize space, right? Whereas here in Northumberland, from my perspective, there are, like, we have, like I mentioned earlier in this talk, where there are about 13 or 15 different agricultural employers here that hire migrant farm workers. And it's very varied in terms of what the housing situations are. For a lot of them, for a lot of agricultural employers here, they only hire maybe 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 workers. So in those cases, a lot of the times they literally just live in a regular house, a house that you and I might live on, or anybody here in Northumberland might rent. It's just a regular, you know, regular working home. And then there are other larger employers here in the region who have different types of accommodations, you know, more sort of like bunkhouse style accommodations where they've also, as far as I've understood, implemented some sort of like limited capacity, you know, putting, you know, maybe 3 or 5 workers per bunkhouse. So we don't necessarily see that same sort of like egregious, I guess you could say, like egregious, like, you know, human rights concerns as you might see in other parts of Ontario. Like, does that mean it could be better? I mean, of course. I mean, I think there it would be, you know, it would be a goal for every migrant worker to have their own room, for example. I think that would be probably the best, probably the best, you know, outcome possible is that everybody have their own room. That way you have, not only do you have the ability to like quarantine, you know, by yourself and not around other people, but you have privacy. Right. And I think as humans, we all like privacy. And so I think that would be, you know, a long-term goal to work towards. And so I think there's plenty of room for us to improve going forward.
But you do go out and you do check some of these conditions and monitor this on an ongoing basis. Could you describe exactly what it is you do in that regard to sort of monitor the working conditions and what it's like for these people to do their jobs?
Yeah. So like a bit just to sort of explain like what it is that Horizons of Friendship does. So we have this program that we call it the Migrant Worker Outreach Program. And the whole goal of our program is to support the health and legal status of migrant workers here in Northumberland County. So for the workers that arrive here, you know, we know that they have health concerns, just like anybody, right? Like whether it's, you know, mental health concerns or, you know, they have general aches and pains, you know, they hurt their knee or, you know, they might have high blood pressure or diabetes, you know, or any ailment that any person would have. You know, we know that these are human beings that are coming to our community and that they're going to have at some point some sort of health concern. We also know that sometimes there are legal concerns as well, and that can manifest in, you know, maybe they have questions about, you know, their taxes, maybe they have questions about their immigration status, they want to become permanent residents. We sort of provide this program to do outreach to these workers in our communities who oftentimes live on the fringe of our community and in the sense of, you know, they live in very rural parts of our community. You know, they might not have full-time access to a vehicle. So we oftentimes, like you mentioned, you know, we're doing outreach to these farms or to these, to their homes. And talking to them and saying, hey, you know, in our community, you have OHIP, you have access to health services. You know, if you need to see a nurse practitioner, if you need to see a doctor, if you need to see, you know, any type of, if you need any type of health service, we can help support you in achieving that, right? And also at the same time, we have a great community resource, the Northumberland Community Legal Center, that provides free confidential legal services to underserved populations, including migrant farm workers. So we can provide referrals to different types of health services, legal services, and at the same time we provide translation. So I speak Spanish. A lot of the workers that come here are, like I mentioned earlier, are from Mexico, from Guatemala, so they speak Spanish, and so we can also provide that translation piece, which is key, because there's not many Spanish speakers here in the region, right? And so that's more or less what we do. And as part of that, we sometimes see, for example, like you mentioned, we'll see the living conditions and stuff like that. Now that hasn't primarily been like one of the top concerns of migrant farm workers here. They're not necessarily concerned about, you know, their living conditions. It's oftentimes, so the concerns they have are about, you know, their health. They might have, like I mentioned, high blood pressure, diabetes, or general aches and pains. It's a very physical job that they do. So they're always trying to learn more or find ways to, you know, support their bodies. And then the other thing that we've noticed this year because of COVID and such is a lot of farm workers some farm workers are experiencing, symptoms of depression or anxiety or panic disorder, as a result of, you know, staying home and, you know, less socialization and, you know, sort of being feeling stuck in this pandemic. You know, you sometimes have, you know, bad thoughts and stuff like that. And so those are the more so the concerns and that we see for migrant farm workers, as well as, you know, folks want to become permanent residents, they want to bring their families. So we try to address some of those things at the same time. So it's very varied what we do. And you know, that's a little a bit of a taste of what some of the issues we see.
It's very interesting, Daniel, when you talk, because I know I've interviewed you before we got into the pandemic. And one of the things we used to talk quite a bit about was all the social gatherings that you would organize through Horizons. There was a spiritual aspect to it. I think you organized church services, religious services for the various members. I mean, it was very rich in terms of supporting these workers culturally and socially during their time with us. So it's interesting when you talk about just how this is impacting them in this way. Are you able to offer anything
Yeah. So first and foremost, like it's for the mental health aspect and some of the issues we've seen around like specifically it's been around like anxiety and panic disorder, folks having panic attacks or really strong feelings of that nature. So around that, there are some resources provided through the different embassies and consulates. They provide the workers with a like a therapist or a counselor. So we didn't know that was a service offered because frankly, before COVID, we had never really seen migrant farm workers suffering from depression or anxiety. Not to say that it didn't exist, it's just that's something we didn't see here. But now this last year and especially this year, we've seen it flare up a lot more, like the anxiety and depression and stuff like that. So we're sort of like learning as we go, oh, there are these like therapists who offer counseling services for free through the consulates and embassies, and they speak Spanish. And so we've been making those referrals to them. You know, we found out about that stuff and we can now offer it. And then, you know, where we can, now that things are more open now in, you know, ever since we've gotten vaccinated, I would say around August, September, we've actually been able to receive more work, more of the migrant workers here in our office on Covert Street. We're very fortunate to have our office there on downtown Coburg because a lot of the migrant farm workers actually come down into town once a week, normally on Tuesdays or Thursdays. They'll park in that big parking lot there in Covert Street. You know, they'll go down to the buy and sell, or they could go down to the banks that are right there on King Street. And then they also pop into Horizons, and we offer as well some care packages for them to take home with, you know, essential food items and, you know, rice, beans and canned proteins, you know, tuna fish or, you know, vegetable oil. And we'll give stuff out to them. And so basically, you know, they'll come in and even though it's a short, you know, 10, 15, 20 minute meeting with them, like, or, you know, it's not a formal meeting. We don't sit down and, you know, tell me about your concerns, but it's just a general, like they can come into our office, we can talk to them and it's a bit more like normal. And that's more or less what we're able to provide at this point in terms of socialization, sorry. And we've been looking into, you know, can we do some sort of dinner again? Can we do some sort of picnic? And it gets a bit complicated in terms of outdoor gatherings and things like that, especially from workers from different farms. And we're not necessarily sure what the vaccination status of some folks are. Like I'd mentioned that whole Sinovac thing earlier, that was sort of a curveball that was thrown at us in terms of, oh, we thought everybody was vaccinated, but not technically, you know, where does that all stand? And it's just it kind of gets complicated. But it's something we're looking at potentially for next year. You know, right now we're in October. What are we? October 4th. At some point we're going to see, hopefully things return to even more back to normal. We'll have hopefully no more lockdowns and things like that. And we'll be able to maybe next year in the spring or summer, we'll be able to have some sort of gathering, probably outdoors, maybe a barbecue. So we're definitely planning for stuff like that for next year.
Daniel Quezada, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Thank you for having me on.
That was my interview with Daniel Quezada, community outreach worker for Horizons of Friendship. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com. Or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.